Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamai, good evening. Welcome to Friday's update. We'll take you through the news that's been happening today in under 30 minutes. So coming up before 5.30, we hear that plans for an NHS levy on the Isle of Man have been scrapped. Also tonight, should the Isle of Man hold a referendum on the government's net zero plans? Would you like to have your say? One MHK says yes. We'll hear their reasons. A charity says more small business owners on the island are turning to them for debt advice. And St John Ambulance has launched a new scheme over concerns about whether defibrillators are working properly. All that, we'll keep an eye on the weather, the traffic and the travel as well. And if you'd like to get in touch, you'd be welcome. You can email studio@manxradio.com or text 166 177. We'll start though with the news headlines as usual. Fastamai, Amy.
Fastamai. Plans to introduce an NHS levy have been scrapped. It's after a consultation into the proposed tax for healthcare earlier this year, which attracted more than 3,800 responses. Treasury Minister Alex Allenson says it gave government the opportunity to gauge public appetite for the move.
The vast majority of people saw that there needed to be extra investment in health, but actually said what they wanted was for government to get its own house in order first.
New data shows the proportion of long-term reoffending on the Isle of Man has doubled since 2016. Around 14% of offenders were reconvicted more than a year after release in 2016, compared with around 30% last year. The figures come as overall convictions have almost halved over the same period. An MHK is calling for a referendum on the future of government's net zero policies. Middle member Stu Peters is tabling a motion in December's sitting of Tynwald. He believes anyone voting against his proposal would be voting against the principle of democracy.
5 years ago, if you'd have asked 100 people on Strand Street, do you agree with greener, cleaner, renewables? I think 95% of people would probably have said yes. However, there is an increasing backlash against it.
A charity on the Isle of Man is planning to help people make sure their defibrillators are working properly. St John Ambulance has brought forward the launch of its Rescue Ready scheme after a woman in Bride found a nearby machine to be out of order when her mum had a medical episode. Claire Pickering is the charity's CEO.
This is a paid-for initiative from a basic package to just give them some assistance to full guardianship of those machines. And they can pick from a range of services. They don't have to have everything.
To international news now, and a nursery worker who abused more than 20 babies has been jailed for 8 years. 22-year-old Roxana Lecker's crimes were discovered in June last year after she was sent home for pinching children at the Riverside Nursery in Twickenham in southwest London. The Israeli Prime Minister has criticised Western countries for recognising Palestinian statehood, saying it shows murdering Jews pays off. Dozens of diplomats at the United Nations General Assembly walked out before Benjamin Netanyahu started to speak in New York. And the Prince of Wales has told star Eugene Levy that 2024 was the hardest of his life. William took him to a pub as part of the actor's TV travel show, which is out next month. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with the news in full at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Amy. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. A bit of a mixed bag for the next few days. So this evening it'll be fine. It'll stay dry overnight. It will be a bit cloudy though. A freshening southeast wind. Minimum temperatures overnight will be around 10. Then tomorrow it will be cloudy. Patchy rain developing mid to late morning. And that will be widespread and persistent during the afternoon. It will be heavy at times later. Clearing after dark. Fresh to strong south or southeast winds tomorrow with temperatures just around 14 or 15. Then Sunday, bright with sunny intervals and isolated showers and mostly light winds. Sunset this evening, 8 minutes past 7. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 12 minutes past 7.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
A ground source heat pump can save thousands of pounds a year, and you can harness this energy on island with Geothermal Limited, the water borehole experts. Visit drilling.im and see how a ground source heat pump borehole works. That's drilling.im.
Hungry for something better at work? The Quirky Teapot Balasella creates bespoke corporate buffets and delivers straight to you. Serving the south of the Isle of Man with flavour and style. Call Abby and the team on 22 42 42 or visit The Quirky Teapot on Facebook.
Lost your keys? Got locked out? Get in with Kevin's Keys. Your fast, reliable locksmiths 24/7. Homes, cars and bikes. Kevin's Keys do it all. And why not get a spare set cut and chipped just in case? Call Kevin on 287 287.
Direct cremation is just that. An affordable and simple cremation without all the costs associated with a funeral service. Find out more by visiting directcremation.im or phone Direct Cremations on 478 422.
It's just gone 5 past 5 here on Update. So the public wants government to get its own house in order first before taking more money from the taxpayer to fund the health service. That is from the Treasury Minister after it was announced today plans for an NHS levy to increase the island's healthcare budget have been scrapped. Now, more than 3,800 people responded to a public consultation on the proposals earlier this year. Dr. Alex Allenson told our political correspondent Phil Gorn about the feedback they'd received.
We had 3,800 people contributing to that. Vast majority of people saw that there needed to be extra investment in health, but actually said what they wanted was for government to get its own house in order first and make sure it's providing as efficient and cost-effective services as possible. That's what we've been doing this last year. That's what this time last year the Chief Minister announced, the savings programme of trying to make sure we could drive value for money for the Isle of Man taxpayer. That's what we'll be continuing to do.
Because that health levy certainly looked on paper to be an income tax rise, but called a health levy.
The idea of having ring-fenced extra revenue for healthcare is not something that's new. We've been talking a lot at the government conference so far about the worldwide stresses in terms of public expenditure, particularly on health, but also for education on our island, and how you deal with that while still preserving some of the ethos of the National Health Service, which I think most people hold quite dear on our island.
That's the Treasury Minister, Dr. Alex Allenson, talking to Phil there. We're going to be hearing from the Treasury Minister live on Breakfast next week, so many more questions to come, I'm sure. 7 minutes past 5. Should the Isle of Man hold a referendum on net zero policies? Well, Middle MHK Stu Peters thinks so. And in December, he'll table a motion calling for a vote to coincide with the 2026 general election. He says the idea originally came from former MHK Paul Quine. I sat down with him where he told me why now is the time to gauge public opinion.
It seems that we're absolutely committed to net zero targets, which are all pretty out there, and there's no real reason for them, but we've just gone along with what other people have decided to do.
I mean, those other people might be called scientists, though, mightn't they, who actually see that there has to be something that people do, otherwise, potentially, the climate is going to be in a very sore state.
Well, there are lots of different points of view on this, and we've all been sold on this idea that 97% of scientists around the world believe that climate change is man-made and is reversible. And actually, that 97% figure is a complete hoax.
Are you getting this from anywhere that's a verified source or just what you're watching on YouTube?
No. All sorts of different sources on this. All sorts of experts, including people who are previous members of the IPCC, have said that that isn't what happened. There wasn't a 97% consensus. It was a lot smaller. It was like less than 1% of scientists agreed that climate change was man-made and was reversible. Now what I'm trying to do is to find out whether or not the public of the Isle of Man agree with spending absolute fortunes, millions and millions of pounds, on something that isn't going to change anything.
Isn't there something, though, about having vision? What if the Victorians had just thought, well, we won't bother with any of this building? Or what if the administrations from decades ago thought, well, we don't need a reservoir, really? But actually, they didn't do it for them. They did it for future generations. And surely that's what the net zero argument is all about.
I could sign up to that straight away if it was going to make any difference.
How do you know it's not going to make any difference?
How do you know it is? Because all the experts that I've read about, we're talking about people like Bjorn Lomborg, we're talking about people like the former chief of Greenpeace, loads and loads of people are saying, whatever you do, it's not going to make any difference. This is just a natural phenomenon. The earth cools and warms up all the time, and this is natural, and it's not to do with man-made CO2.
Middle MHK Stu Peters. You can hear that interview in full as a Manx newscast at manxradio.com. Well, in a statement statement, the Department of Environment has told us, achieving net zero is essential for protecting our environment, securing cleaner and more reliable energy, and creating stronger economic opportunities for the Isle of Man. An extensive consultation shows strong resident support. It's coming up to 5:10. The Department of Home Affairs is seeking feedback on plans to update the island's contempt of court legislation to reflect the use of modern technology. Now, the proposed Contempt of Court Bill 2025 looks to address the risk material posted online and on social media composed to legal proceedings, as Sean Cowper reports.
Contempt of court covers a wide range of actions, including disrupting court proceedings, disregarding a court order or other behaviour that can obstruct justice. It's designed to safeguard legal proceedings, ensuring the rules of the court are followed and justice is fair. This draft bill looks to modernise the existing laws on the island, particularly in relation to online activity. It explicitly mentions online material in relation to publication during active proceedings and lists disclosing the identity of a party or witness on social media and photography in court as examples of contempt. Justice and Home Affairs Minister Jane Paul Wilson says her department wants to update the law to reflect the changing nature of public discourse, which increasingly takes place online. Anyone found guilty of contempt of court could face a prison sentence of up to 6 months or receive an unlimited fine in the summary court or a 2-year custodial sentence in the higher courts. The bill also aligns with other changes proposed within the Justice Reform Amendment Bill 2025, which is also currently out for consultation. The consultation is open until the 27th of October. You can read the draft bill in full and submit your feedback on the government's consultation hub.
Sean Cowper reporting. There's also a link to that consultation again on the story on the Manx Radio website.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, the Isle of Man branch of the Institute of Directors has published the results of its third policy voice survey, and it really does paint a challenging picture for government. Christian has been looking at the findings. Fastamai, Christian, what is the headline message, would you say, from the business leaders?
Fastamai, Beth. Well, there is clear concern across the board, it's evident to say. 48 directors and senior leaders took part in the poll, and two-thirds said they were pessimistic about the island's economic outlook over the next year. And that's produced a net confidence score of minus 49, a sharper fall compared with the minus 27 recorded last autumn.
But is that negativity reflected in their own organisations?
Not entirely. Around half expect their revenues to rise, but most still anticipate higher operating costs, and they're also cautious about investment. Skills shortages and general economic conditions were cited by more than half of respondents as their biggest challenges, along with issues like regulation, connectivity and labour costs.
What about their views on government then?
Yeah, it's not great. Perceptions of government engagement have worsened. 70% of respondents said policymakers don't understand the business environment, and fewer than 1 in 10 felt government engages well with their sector. Many actually highlighted increasing regulation, limited consultation and frustration over the size of the public sector too.
OK, well, let's just talk for a moment about the island's public finances. What do we know about the views on that?
So that's a split opinion. 41% backed the current system of mainly personal and indirect taxation, 38% opposed it, and the rest were neutral. But there was strong consensus on two issues. 85% opposed to using reserves to balance the budget without wider reform, and more than 80% doubted government could keep public sector pay growth at 2% annually for 5 years.
Right, OK. So have these business leaders discussed what they want to see to change this and to move things forward?
Well, 91% favoured reducing public sector headcount, though most wanted frontline services like health and education protected. 72% questioned government's digital capabilities, saying technology should be used to cut costs rather than just change delivery. And beyond financial matters, a majority supported constitutional reform, from reducing local authorities to looking again at the island's electoral system. And the IOD says it wants more proportionate regulation, stronger skills strategies, better connectivity and credible cost control alongside reforms to government structures. And it's a pleasure to keep pressing on those issues in the run-up to the 2026 general election.
Christian, thank you very much indeed. And as ever, we have approached government for comment but have not yet heard anything back on this.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Nothing reported on the police pages, so it's the usual roadworks that have been in place for the past few days, and obviously the mountain roads still closed. Down at the airport, a few little delays this evening, but nothing major. And the steam packet, the Manxman, due into Douglas in around about half an hour, be heading out again for Heysham at 7:15. And the Mananan on its way to Liverpool, getting there around 5:30. And again, coming back here at 7:15.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
It's exactly 5:15, and earlier this month, a family in Bride discovered a defibrillator was out of order during a medical emergency involving 76-year-old Helen Radcliffe. Well, she's now at home and said to be doing well, but her daughter says the incident shows the importance of maintaining the life-saving devices. Well, this week, St John Ambulance Isle of Man has launched a new initiative called Rescue Ready, and this is to ensure public defibrillators are kept in working order. Lewis has been talking to the charity's CEO, Claire Pickering.
Yeah, it's an initiative we've been thinking of for a while. It's something that we wanted to do. We know that there's a need and that a lot of people are afraid of defibrillators. They're frightened, they're scared, they don't know how to use them, and they're frightened of doing the wrong thing. And so it was just to put something out there that these machines are out there. They're all over the island, public access defibrillators and personal use as well. So it was just to put something out there to say this service is available and people can take us up on it if they want it.
We know that Craig's Heartstrong Foundation has put out, I think, 602 now public access defibrillators, which is massive, of course. So there's a lot of machines out there to think about. So what is this initiative? How are you going to be helping these so-called guardians we've been hearing about?
So if they are unsure, if they need some help or advice, for any of the public access defibrillators, we would always offer some free help and advice. But this is a paid-for initiative that we are offering from a basic package to just give them some assistance to full guardianship of those machines. Lots of people have inherited the machines, maybe as they've moved buildings, and then people have left companies and things like that. So it's just to offer them some support, and they can pick from a range of services. They don't have to have everything, they don't have to have it all, but you know, we're there to help.
And we know recent events have caused a need, as you've put it, to expedite the launch of this scheme. So do you think a positive can come from this week and this campaign can really hit the ground running?
Yeah, definitely. I think we'll have a big take-up from this. We've had lots of inquiries already. There really is a need for some, just for some guidance and assistance really around it. So yeah, I'm hopeful that the take-up will be big for us on this.
That's St John Ambulance CEO Claire Pickering talking to Lewis. Some great news there about that initiative that charity is doing. Coming up to 5:17, well, a charity offering debt advice on the Isle of Man says more small business owners are now turning to it for advice. The Salvation Army service has been running for 5 years, originally focusing on people on low incomes. But with the continued impact of the rising cost of living, it says business owners are increasingly among those seeking help. Debbie White from the service has been talking to Chanel.
We've had more people coming in with mortgage issues, businesses that are failing. It's important for me to say that we can't work with anyone that's a limited company, because that's a different legislation. It's those little businesses that, as we're seeing every week, actually, aren't we? We're seeing shops and restaurants closing. It's those sorts of people that are coming in, needing some guidance, advice, and some signpoint posting as well. And even just thinking a little bit creatively how maybe they run their business. We're not here to be business advisors. We are debt advisors. That's what we're insured for. But we can signpost people for areas of advice which they might not have thought of before.
It's very concerning to hear that it's also some of your small local businesses that's reaching out for the service as well.
Yes, it is. And I've had over probably the last 2 years, we've started to see that change in the client base. And it's worrying. People are underpinning their businesses by getting credit. And if I was going to send a message out to the community is please, really, when you start to have to do that, really think, is your business model sustainable? Because in the Isle of Man, it's very limited on what can be done regarding debt, particularly if you have no assets. And so really consider whether underpinning your business through other loans or credit cards or other means is a good idea. Maybe it's a difficult and I know an emotive subject when you have to close your doors because you've literally put your life and soul into your business. You probably aren't even being paid. And also you've got your staff members who have grown up with you through the business. But actually, I think I would implore people to really think clearly, is your model sustainable going forwards? And I think it's, you know, I am not an economist. I don't have any degrees in that. But, you know, it's worthwhile just considering.
That is Debbie White from the Debt Service with the Salvation Army. And they're holding an afternoon tea celebration actually tomorrow to celebrate their fifth anniversary. It'll be held at the Salvation Army on the Isle of Man Business Park between 1 and 3. It's open to anyone who's used the service previously, as well as any other members of the public. You can find out more information about that and also the debt service that's available on the Manx Radio website. 20 past five. Well, were you a beaver, guide, cub or scout growing up? Well, for over a century, this movement has helped young people build life skills and often also lifelong friendships. But actually, here on the island, there's a shortage of adult volunteers, which is really putting pressure on some groups to keep going. Lewis went down to the first Russian Cub Scouts this week to see how that troop is managing.
So today is one of our weekly meetings. We usually meet on a Wednesday. We're going for a little hike tonight to go and play some games and just to really get more outdoors, really. That's like a big aspect of being part of Cubs, is to be outdoors and enjoy the outdoor space we have on our island, which is amazing.
So at the moment, Cubs is such a vital part of 1st Russian Division because it is the filling between our amazing beaver group and getting ready for scouts. And that is such an opportunity. Children grow so much in terms of confidence, resilience, independence. But at the moment, we are just a little bit short on leaders. And what we're asking for is, if you think that you can give an hour and a half of your time just once a week to help support our group, we will be there to support you and help you. We as leaders would lead it, but what we're looking for is someone who can give their time to our amazing group of young children who just thrive and flourish in this environment.
So they just need an hour and a half. It could be any night of the week. When in particular?
So, First Russian Cubs meet at 6:15 to 7:30 on a Wednesday evening. Quite often that can be at the Scout Hall. However, we know that children love to explore, see new places, get out into the outdoors. So sometimes we may be in other locations. For example, next week we will be bug hunting in one of the glens. So whilst most meetings are on a Wednesday, 6:15 to 7:30 at the Scout Hall, we do use all of our environment as well.
What is it you like about Cubs?
My name's Jason and I really, really like that we get to play like tagging games and underball.
Oh, that was Jason there from 1st Russian Cubs Scouts talking to Lewis. And if you can help out, you can find out all the details. Guess where? Yeah, on the Manx Radio website. Now, an Isle of Man band is set to honour one of its members this weekend. Russian Silver Band will be playing at the Erin Arts Centre to celebrate the life of Joyce Corlett, who died earlier this year. The band's chair, Chris Weldon, has been talking to Howard.
Joyce Corlett was a huge supporter of the arts in general, Russian Silver Band in particular. She'd been president of the band. She'd compared band concerts, one of the founder members of what was then the Russian Silver Band Ladies Committee, supporting many of their husbands and children playing, later became the Friends of Russian Silver Band, a key figure in everything we've done for the last 40 or 50 years. And we're bringing together the band, the Art Centre where it is, and a couple of special guests that bring something of Joyce's life to the event. Gareth Moore will be playing the organ at the Art Centre. Joyce was a well-known organist at St Catherine's and St Peter's in Craigneish. And also Christine Tia, a fantastic soprano solo singer, again representing the parts of Joyce's life as a singer, where she's won both the Cleveland Medal at the Guild and also the Blackpool Rose Bowl.
And the music is going to be what sort of some of Joyce's favourite pieces?
Yeah, about 10 years ago the band did what we called a by request concert. Now helpfully we still have the archives, so most of the programme is based around pieces Joyce picked for that concert. So some things that people will know, I think, tunes like Highland Cathedral, the unofficial anthem of Scotland, but maybe a few things that people won't know that she was particularly fond of. Another well-known piece is where we have a brass band version of When I'm 64 by the Beatles, done in a slightly different style with some comic moments, which I think will just bring a bit of life to the event.
She was also a commission reporter and part of Russian Heritage Trust, Russian Emergency Ambulance and Scout Leader, volunteer for the Citizens Advice. How did she fit it all in? And them on, would it?
I've no idea. I was also her next door neighbour for about 25 years. And every time you popped in, she was either on the phone to somebody, or somebody had come to see her, or she was writing a letter on behalf of something. She was just involved in everything and a real asset to the community.
Oh, Joyce Corlett sounds like a wonderful woman. She will be celebrated this Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Erin Arts Centre by the Russian Silver Band. And just quickly want to let you know about an event that's happening at the Comus Hotel on Monday. It's the Ex-Military Talent in the Workplace Business Leader Forum. It's on from 8:30 to 11. It's hosted by the UK Ministry of Defence with support from Locate Isle of Man. And it's going to showcase the skills that veterans can bring to the workplace, from entry-level roles to more senior positions. So that happening this Monday at the Comus. Now let's join Rob Pritchard for this evening's sports news. Fast am I.
First off tonight, three teams go into this weekend's Isle of Man football fixtures locked together on points at the top of the Canada Life Men's Premier League. Corinthians, Russian United and Laxey all reside on 13 points going into tomorrow's matches, with Corinthians leading the way by virtue of goal difference. Well, that trio are three of four sides in the top flight still undefeated after five games, along with Onchan, who sit just 3 points further back in fourth. Well, as part of Saturday's schedule, Corinthians travel to fellow frontrunners Laxey, with Russian United facing a tricky test away to Onchan. Elsewhere, a number of teams in Ardern and Drugg Unlimited Division 2 will have the chance to close the gap to current leaders Castletown, who don't have a fixture this weekend. Among those, second place Colby could move to within a point of Castletown if they win away at Moran, whilst Malou will be hoping to move towards the top two when they head to Douglas Royal. You can see the full schedule for this weekend's Isle of Man football fixtures at manxradio.com. Moving on, and Bakazay will be looking to maintain or even extend their early Premier League lead during this weekend's latest Isle of Man Mixed Hockey League ties. With two wins from two and having already scored 21 goals, they face Harlequins A on Saturday. Also in the top flight, Vikings A, who suffered a shock 4-3 defeat to Backers B last week, take on Castletown Celts. Overall, there are four teams across the four mixed senior divisions looking to maintain perfect starts at this early stage of the campaign. Matches across the leagues get underway from 11 a.m. tomorrow. Details are available on our website. And finally, Isle of Man martial arts competitor Alana Pritchard will be chasing a second world title from this weekend. The fighter from Ramsey will contest the 2025 IMMAF World Championships in Tbilisi in Georgia from the 27th of October to the 2nd of November. Representing England, Pritchard will be hoping to replicate the gold medal she took at the meeting in 2024. In November last year, the 22-year-old took IMMAF World Championships gold in the senior women's super welterweight class, beating Angola's Anna Fernanda via technical knockout in the final in Tashkent in Uzbekistan.
We should say, no relation to you.
No relation.
You're not a fighter, no?
I wouldn't say so, no.
Okay, we'll leave that there. Rob, thank you very much indeed. Rob is going to be with you just now with the Friday Sport Preview. Then at 6:30, Chris Kinney will be here with Greatest Hits. At 9, it's Jumping In with the Kane Brothers, Howard and Chris, before Rhiann is with you with After Hours from 10. So plenty to come on Manx Radio this evening. Just want to let you know the latest episode of Journey to a Dream is out, and it's with the senior Manx Grand Prix winner this year, Kevin Canny. He's got an amazing story. Honestly, if you'd seen where he was in June, it's a miracle that he was even at the MGP, let alone doing what he did throughout that event. So do have a listen to that if you have time. Whatever you're doing this weekend, have a lovely one. Make the most of the weather tonight. Probably it's going to be a bit rainy tomorrow, hopefully a bit better on Sunday. And we'll talk to you again on Monday.